Good morning, Mountain View. Welcome to worship today on this great day for a celebration, a great day for acknowledgement of Reformation and All Saints, and a great day for us to discover God's Reformation inside of our own hearts. Do we have anybody here for the very first time? We have a small gift for you of popcorn to thank you for popping in. Trudy is here. We welcome her from Oklahoma. And she's here, and hopefully, did you bring Stacy? She did not come. Grandchildren are in tow some days, but we welcome you. Hope to see you again. Anybody else here for the very first time? Be mindful that when you invite friends, we will have a gift for them. And it's not mowing the lawn. It's an actual bag of microwave popcorn. So I hope that they will come and come with you as well. All right. Announcements.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Schmidt, and this morning we have a lot going on in our church. We have three things for you to do before you leave today. Thank you for coming to worship. We still have three more things for you to do. So your pictures, if you didn't get your picture in the mail when you had your portrait taken for the church directory, if you didn't get it in the mail at your home, it's probably out here in the narthex. So please look for that. They're in alphabetical order, and please take yours with you as you go. Also, next Sunday, we are celebrating the Thanksgiving in the Park by delivering warm gloves and goodie bags to the homeless and others in need. And we still have a few more pairs of gloves that need to be purchased. So if you would like to donate $20, you can put a check in the offering today for $20 made out to Mountain View UMC, and note that it's for gloves for next week. And then our third thing to do today is next week is Staff Recognition Sunday. And so please fill out cards, thank you notes, and tell the staff how much you appreciate all that they do for us. Okay, that's today. Next Sunday, we also have a few things going on. And so Saturday is hanging the Christmas lights for the Advent. So if you'd like to come on Saturday at 9 o'clock, come help hang Christmas lights. And then on Sunday is the intentional discipleship sessions, and everyone's invited to come to that. And so please RSVP the church office and come to that. It's really important for our church. Fabulous. Thank you, Ken. Okay. And next we will... Okay, next we will have our greetings and passing of the peace. So please greet each other with a handshake or an embrace. And these words, may the peace of God be with you.
This is today a recognition of our Reformation Sunday and also our All Saints Day. And so as the choir leads us in their procession, we ask that you would stand and be prepared to sing big. Can you sing big? All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
remain standing for our Reformation prayer, this marking the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Let us pray together. Here we stand, Lord, the people you have redeemed. Here we worship, inheritors of the Protestant Reformation. We would bask in your grace, God Most High, remembering our history and giving thanks for the blessings of our faith. Full of love and full of mercy, as your love lasts forever, 500 years is not so long to praise you. Focused upon your gifts and turned toward Holy Scripture, we, a priesthood of all believers, recommit ourselves to living out our faith in Christ. Sola fide, sola scriptura, vision, hope, and forgiveness. These are free gifts from our eternal, loving God. Here we stand, Lord, with those who reformed the church so long ago. Here we worship with those who are still reforming the church today. We say no to indifferent structures and no more to an earned churchly grace. We witness to your good news for all, and we celebrate the gifts of your undying reformation in us. As your servants, your followers, and your children forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for their special time. Hey, guys. It's nice to see you today. What is a blessing? What is a blessing? Do you know what a blessing is? What's happiness? What is happiness? It's how I feel in your heart, right? Right? Happiness is how you feel in your heart. And we talk a lot about blessings here at church. Happiness is something we also love. We are happy because God loves us, and we remember that at worship. I think that's one of the main reasons that your parents and grandparents bring you to church, so that you would remember that you are loved by God. How does that make you feel? How do you feel? Yeah? You feel happy, right? I want us to remember that we're blessed, that we are happy because we know God's love, and that we want to share that with somebody else. And that's my prayer for you this week, is that we share the happiness that we've known with somebody else. Maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your neighbor or your friend. Do you feel happy? Sometimes. And when we do, let's thank God for that. Can we pray? Dear God, thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
A chance to be happy.
A chance to be happy.
To find our happiness.
To find our happiness.
Rooted in you.
Rooted in you.
Your love makes us happy.
Makes us happy.
Our families make us happy.
Your gifts.
And blessings
make us happy too.
Let us share them.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. I bless you, and I hope that you're happy in God's love. This is the time in our worship service that we ask people to share about their prayer concerns. Not all of those are happy. Sometimes they're very serious. And we've learned that Pastor Sarah's husband, Mac, that he has a herniated disc in his back. But more significantly, her husband's father, Phil, has been diagnosed with stomach cancer and given a year to live. So prayers of love and support for the Merchant family, especially for Phil Merchant, who is Mac's father. All right. We're also aware of Dennis Bergen, who's had several surgeries and is in Boulder Community Hospital. and a number of other folks. But what are your prayer concerns today? Yes, Jane. Linda Huntsberger is looking at back surgery. God be with her. Others. Yes, Francis Boggs. Son had an evaluation for neck pain and did not go to surgery. They're going to start with injections first. So prayers of love and support for him. Who else? Yes. Prayers for her brother-in-law's family who passed away. He did. What's his name?
Benny.
Benny and Benny's family is in need of our prayers today. I understand. Congratulations for your brother and for
my parents are in town.
Yes, and congratulations to you as we love Ryan and his family so very much that one of your other children became a full colonel. Isn't that right? Is that right? And we congratulate him as well. Prayers of love and support for our families. Who else? What other joys and concerns do you have? Yes, friend.
It's a blessing. I'm here with my family. I'm just visiting here from Santa Barbara. It's a little chillier here than where I live.
Alex's dad is here from Santa Barbara visiting and getting to be grandpa.
Yeah, I'm getting to be grandpa. It's very different to be a grandfather since I don't have I have other grandchildren in Pennsylvania. So I get to see my grandchildren fairly occasionally, sporadically.
Great pleasure to be here with his family and get to be grandpa. Who else? What other joys and concerns would you share today? All right. We remember today those who have gone before us, and especially want to surround John with love and support as Dulcie passed away this past Monday. And services will be in a couple of weeks in November, and you'll learn more about them in your bulletin, but prayers for you and your family. Anybody else? Let's bow together and let's see if we can't reach out and hold someone's hand. Can you do that? Would you reach over the pew and hold Trudy's hand? There you go. Be connected, somebody. There we go. Holy silliness, we thank you for your love in this place to make our hearts sing with joy and dance with laughter. Holy purpose, we give you thanks for your witness to us, your light in our hearts and lives, and your prodding to service in ministry. Holy risk-taking, we thank you for your presence in our hearts that help us to be all that we can be for you. Walk with us in peace and grace in this hour of worship. Be with us as your people through the ages. Teach us the lessons of faith and hope and promise and authentic joy. And in Jesus Christ, let us be your people in this place. Amen. The offering is for the work of the kingdom of God. The offering that we take is for the opportunities that God would provide this church for reaching beyond its walls. If you have your estimate of giving card, your pledge card. Last week we took those up. If you have those this week, haven't turned them in yet, please go ahead and put them in the offering plate. I'm very pleased to know that at least 38 of you stepped forward in your giving. The average increase of gift was $600, and we're grateful for your gifts to the life of the church. Ushers?
As are they the poor.
For your gifts and blessings, Lord God, we open our hearts and acknowledge you in the midst of them. We acknowledge you in the gifts of song and solo, music and purpose. We acknowledge you in the gifts of beautiful fall days, in the rain that comes to water the earth, in the gifts of family visiting far and those who are close to us hereby. We ask your blessing upon our life that we would be your people in this place and that your gifts in us and through us would bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of faith, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Please be seated. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture reading this morning is the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. You'll be pleased to know that the clock at the back of the sanctuary does not work. So, as I've told you before, what does it mean when a United Methodist pastor looks at his watch? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. We will power through. Happiness in the happiest city in America. Recently, National Geographic identified Boulder, Colorado as the number one happiest city in America. Did you read that? Now, I have to confess that I'm a little skeptical of the number one ranking. And when I shared this news with somebody else, they said, "Man, there must be some really sad sack people out there." But if the study is to be believed, it raises several important questions for us. I want us, first of all, to be aware that I have absolutely nothing at all against happiness, but I'm a little fearful of folly, just the same. What is the basis of this ranking? That's my number one question. Does faith have anything to say on the subject? And how can we get in on some of this happiness? Can this judgment be trusted? With some important exceptions, I've observed that happiness is indeed a choice that we get to make. It is a frame of mind, a point of reference. It is a personal decision, and that being the case, you and I have a lot to say about living our days happily or not, especially since as persons of faith, we can live our lives full of God's grace. So I'd have to say, in that being the case, we should be able to claim the lion's share of happiness in life for ourselves. Once again, I have absolutely nothing against happiness in the human experience. It's good work if you can get it, right? You grab a hold of all the happiness you can. I'm merely skeptical about worldly happiness when it's stacked up against eternal joy. In God, you and I are committed to a deeper sort of purpose than empty earthly delights. In Christ, you and I have a resource which is greater than the world even imagines in terms of living our lives with joy. To poke a little fun at ourselves and not to take ourselves too seriously, I see some perfectly reasonable parallels between the happiest city in America and the happiest place on earth. There you go now. You got your ears on? Can you hear me now? I just want to be sure where my happiness comes from. I just want to be clear of where my joy lies. Now, in the past week was the 500th anniversary of the start of the Protestant Reformation. At the back of the church, if you'll see me, I have a little quiz for you to pass with regard to Martin Luther and the Reformation. It's not for everybody, but I do want you to know that because we're Protestants, we'll grade on a curve. And once you take the test, you've nailed it. As the 95 theses on the door. Anyway, Because 500 years ago, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther tacked his 95 objections on the Wittenberg castle door, a list of objections to church practice of his day. Luther's grievances with the Catholic Church at the time was based on concerns about the selling of indulgences, which were essentially pardons for sins in exchange for money. Now, that is completely and utterly different than the United Methodist women selling nuts out the door. You get no forgiveness of sins, although you might get a sweet smile and a thank you. Martin Luther's arguments also extended beyond questions of corruption, because selling of indulgences, a way of forgiving sins for a price, was ripe for abuse. He wasn't just interested in criticizing the church for corruption. His criticisms went on to theological concerns like salvation and grace and the role of the laity in the church. This last one is particularly important to me because the fact that laity and clergy have the same exact baptism and are the same in God's sight forms the basis of all participatory democracy in the world. And it's out of that concept of the Reformation that not only was the church changed, but all of society was transformed. Well, now that Protestantism has been around for some 500 years, none of this is really that surprising to us. None of these objections shock us terribly, although I hope to shock you with some of my bad humor today, or terrible jokes, as it were. In their day, however, these were serious challenges to the dispensation of God's grace. And that's why these matters still are important to us today. It's a core value of ours as Protestants that no one can stand in the way of God's grace, whether inside or outside of the church. And we are charged with the responsibility of spreading God's love as far and as wide as we possibly can. Now, a lot has happened in the life of the church, both good and bad, since Pastor Martin laid out his considerable objections to the practices of his day. But Luther's protests, from which we get the word Protestantism, fell into three categories: grace, scripture, and responsibility. Luther said that when it came to forgiving human guilt, God's love, God's grace, not human works, mattered most. And he called this sola fide. Can you practice Latin with me? Sola fide. He said that the Bible was the sole source for our defining faith and practice, not the church tradition, not papal pronouncements, not reason, and not experience. Sola scriptura. Yes, this isn't on the test, so don't worry about it. And finally, he said that each person is responsible for their own relationship with God. One's omission or commission of sins could not be absolved by a priest or made good by doing a lot of good works to make up for it. And I don't have the Latin for this. This is the priesthood of all believers. These are the three feet of the Reformation milking stool. That's the way it was explained to me in seminary. The three legs of the Reformation milking stool. And most importantly, we are responsible to God for living and spreading gospel love through Jesus Christ to the world. Sola fide, sola scriptura, priesthood of all believers. Oh, you're done now. Good. Well, eventually, after being excommunicated for these ideas, Luther sought to establish some sacred community based on these ideals. We call this the Protestant Church, to which we belong and are greatly indebted for much of our faith and practice. Now, what does this have to do with the happiest city in America? Well, I believe that happiness issues from a number of different places, but we understand that joy, the deeper contentment of the human spirit, arises from a wellspring of God's grace, which supplants human power, which takes the place of human privilege, which pushes out human pleasure as the sole purpose of our life. As persons of faith focused upon Jesus Christ and radically dependent upon God's grace for our joy, We acknowledge that happiness is influenced by external forces, yet we know that because of our faith perspective, happiness is born of a deeper inner source. There's real happiness in friendships, real joy in family, real meaning in worldly success and earthly rewards. But that's not all there is, and we shouldn't be just satisfied with that. We would be fools to ignore the gifts of this life and the rewards of our labor. And yet happiness, as the world defines us, is a temporary, impermanent mask rather than an eternal attitude. Happiness is not figured on the kind of house that we live in, but depends upon the kind of people who live in the house. Happiness is not the kind of clothes that we wear or the car that we drive, but the person who wears the clothes. Happiness can be a temporary relief, a distraction, if you will, but it is not an enduring resource. God is, and God's joy is what we seek. At least as far as I've experienced, worldly happiness falls far short of psychological and existential joy. Happiness is not joy. But this is what the Christian community is formed around. Joy. And this is what we seek in this hour. To get my vote for the happiest city on earth, I'm looking for something more than fine water quality, excellent entertainment opportunities, and access to overpriced, plentiful organic foodstuffs. In order for me to vote in favor of the happiest city on earth for Boulder, Colorado, I'm using a different measure. I'm looking at different values. I'm seeking a deeper joy than just surface living. The writer C.S. Lewis put it this way: I doubt anyone who has tasted joy would ever exchange joy for all the pleasures in the world. Instead, our Lord Jesus Christ set down in the Beatitude 8 principles for measuring happiness. And his standards stand in stark contrast to the ways of the world. Here's what he said: able to be blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Able to be blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall know comfort. Able to be blessed or happy are the meek, the empty, and the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy and filled and inherit the earth. Able to be blessed or happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Able to be blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Able to be blessed or happy are the victim of persecutions on my account, for they already live inside of God's grace. It occurs to me that this razor's edge of happiness is often to be found when we struggle the most and are leaning into our difficulties in such a way that God's grace can really speak to us and really guide us and really support us. Here's the difference. The difference is knowing facts about Jesus and having a relationship with God through Jesus. It's not knowing about Jesus that we're all about. These Beatitudes might be written in a secular book and you go, oh yes, those are good teachings. But it's knowing God in our hearts and reaching for God in our times of trouble on that knife's edge of difficulty and struggle that you and I judge happiness and fulfillment in the world. In the Beatitudes, Jesus' measures of success are laid out. In the Beatitudes are the Lord's metrics for mercy and happiness revealed. And they turn the world's expectations upside down. As Christians, we have absolutely nothing against worldly happiness. As I say, it's good work if you can get it. I hope that you'll grab a hold of as much happiness as you possibly can. It's a mistake otherwise. But we simply long for that which is greater, that which is grander, that which is far better than the secular world knows or will allow. And this may be the greatest struggle that we face as Christians in this secular society. Can we be allowed what the world cannot understand? Joy at knowing God and God's purposes for our life. Ours is a faith that teaches us that when God is the author of our lives, we no longer want to settle for earthly pleasures and worldly rewards. We have the gift of grace to account for, after all. Ours is a faith that when Christ is our example and our teacher, we can no longer easily justify spending our lives basking in our good fortune and pursuing personal pleasures. We have others to care for, after all. Ours is a faith that when the Holy Spirit calls us to full participation in building up the kingdom of God and those in it, we find that we can no longer just stand on the sidelines with our mouths agape and our hands idle when we are called to participate fully in the transformation of our lives and in our others with God's love. As I say, the way of God turns the world upside down. Today we share communion together as we remember the saints who have gone before us. In this place, in the happiest city of America, we take our identity not from fat home values or insulated retirements or ersatz popularity. Instead, we celebrate those who give themselves away. Instead, we celebrate those who invest their lives in others and those who live their faith out in the world. We remember whose we are, even as we recall where we live. We celebrate our history in the Reformation and Martin Luther and John Wesley and everybody who's come before, even as we embrace the purposes of God here and now. The long and short of it is that as we proclaim God's grace, we can also claim the lion's share of life's happiness. For as wherever the world awards power over, we delight in God's presence throughout. Whereas the secular recognize eternal accomplishment, we value inner peace. Whereas the world prizes mere happiness, we long for real joy. We reach for it. Even as we're part of the secular society in which we live, we watch for God's blessings so that we can share them with others. For our joy springs from knowing God's love, the Savior's hope, and the Spirit's purpose day by day. You know, all of this is backed up by scientific research. I hope that you know that. It's not just a statement of faith. When we pray, worship, and sing to God, and share ourselves with others, persons of faith live 20% longer than anybody else. Did you realize that? And when we work and play and ponder and dwell on God's goodness, we live 50% happier lives. And when we accept the love and forgiveness and reconciliation and resource of Jesus Christ, we may finally realize the needs of others and claim our sacred purpose on this earth. For, as persons of faith, we've been given these blessings for a reason, not merely to enjoy them for ourselves, but share them with the world. The point is this. God's kind of happiness, as defined in the Beatitudes, represents a radical reversal of almost everything we've ever heard to define the word happiness. The happiest city in America this year will look awful sad if it does not also look to God's grace and Jesus' Beatitudes as it grows into its uncertain future. The most homogeneous and second wealthiest county in Colorado has a lot to learn when it comes to the struggles of people throughout the state, throughout the country, and throughout the world. And the happiness of our community must look well beyond itself to contribute to the well-being, not just of ourselves, but to others. For Jesus is asking us to care for the world. All of this is to conclude. Given the choice between mere happiness and real joy, I hope that we'll reach for joy. Happiness is great and grand, and I hope very much that we'll reach for as much of it as we possibly can. But on this day, we acknowledge that the happiest place in America and the happiest place on earth lack some important points of reference. And we claim these in Holy Communion and in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Can you hear me now? It's my delight to invite you to the table for the sacrament and to come forward to receive these elements. Would those who are to assist come forward at this time? Christ our Lord invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another to come forward and receive these elements. We are reminded in this time that it's not that we can earn God's love, but that God's love has so freely been given. Okay, if you'll step back just a minute. Let us join our hearts together in confession and in prayer. And let us ask for God's mercy.
Kyrie.
Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Holy God, you break the cycle of wars so that we may be enriched by your peace. You shatter the grip of violence so we may be freed from our fears. You plant your words of hope deep within us, carving these words in our hearts. You are mine. You give us the word we need so we might live in your grace, God of creation. So we give thanks to you, O God, God of creation, God of renewal, God of reformation, and with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Are filled with despair, Jesus Christ is our hope. When we are lost and cannot find our way, Jesus Christ is our help. And when the world closes its doors and refuses to listen, Jesus Christ is our refuge. In this hour of worship, we claim our earnest delight and happiness as Christ is our Redeemer. And so we remember in this place and time his life, teaching, death, and resurrection, and we seek to be reformed as your holy people. Let the world have its way. And yet, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup of blessing and he shared it with them, saying, "Drink ye all of this. Do this in remembrance of me." Grace and peace. In the Lord's name. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and proclaim profess your resurrection until you come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of this table and upon your people gathered here who seek your face. Consecrate, cleanse, and commend us, your imperfect servants, for the work of our hands to the glory of your name. In this bread, we symbolize your life in Jesus, which reshapes our brokenness into peace and offers the hope which brings healing to the world. This cup, which is filled with your grace, strengthens us to be new people, to speak truth to power, and to seek joy over happiness. In honor and glory, all of these are yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. So this morning, by power of the Reformation, we will have communion of both kinds, both cup and bread. We'll also say together as laity and clergy the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now today our youth, which normally are in Sunday school at this hour, will be serving communion to you. And we are delighted to have them as they come forward to receive themselves these gifts to offer to you. Children? God's reformation is already in your heart. Allow God to reform you. God's reformation is already in your heart. Allow God to reform you. Let God's love reform us all. reform and redefine who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand with me as we sing our closing hymn today. Have you got your ears on? Okay. May the love and promise of Jesus Christ truly be yours, and may we define our happiness by the Beatitudes, not so much as the happiest city in America, but when we define our lives by the Beatitudes, we're the happiest place and people anywhere. The grace and promise of the Lord be with you. Amen.